a national disgrace. That's how an inspector general for the Interior Department has described the dozens of tribal jails in the U.S. But that comment was made in 2004, and a new investigation finds not much has changed since. In fact, NPR and the Mountain West News Bureau report that, among other things, 19 people have died at these detention centers since 2016. For more, let's bring in reporter Nate Hedgie. He joins us from Missoula, Montana. Hey, Nate.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. So there are about 70 of these centers. They're overseen by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And you reported one of these deaths, that of Carlos Yazzie, arrested in 2017. He died in jail. Why was he arrested and what happened?
Well, he was arrested on a bench warrant, and he arrived at the jail in Navajo Nation desperately in need of medical attention. His blood alcohol content was 6 times the legal limit, which is considered potentially lethal by medical professionals. But authorities decided he was fine, and they put him into a cramped isolation cell. And federal policy says they're supposed to check on inmates every 30 minutes, but guards left him unmonitored for 6 hours, and he actually died of acute alcohol poisoning, which is easily treatable by medical professionals.
Okay, so what are some of the reasons that they're giving as to why this happened? Why didn't he get medical care? And what other issues contributed to this and other deaths?
Well, yeah, so I think what we're seeing is that, for one thing, the Bureau of Indian Affairs does not require on-site medical personnel. So there are no doctors or nurses on-site at these jails. And that means that guards sometimes have to make life or death decisions regarding an inmate's health. And at least a third of inmates who are incarcerated in these jails are arrested on drug or alcohol-related charges. So they're potentially at risk of alcohol poisoning and withdrawal seizures. And, you know, in time after time, we've seen people die from alcohol poisoning and withdrawal seizures because they weren't given proper medical care.
Okay, your team also found that since 2007, nearly a third of the officers and staff supervising these inmates had not completed training to become certified. Why is that, and how big of a problem is poor training overall?
Right. We've seen the training kind of inch up a little bit. As of April, it's now 1 in 5 correctional officers haven't received the required basic training from the Indian Police Academy. This training, by the way, includes 400 hours of CPR, first aid, suicide prevention, things like that. And what we're hearing from federal investigators and from correctional officers is that there's been a chronic backlog. And so I spoke with one person who it's actually taken them, they've been applying to get into this Indian Police Academy for 2 years, and they've been denied repeatedly just because of the backlog. And meanwhile, you have to essentially think of these folks as interns. They don't have the training required to actually care for inmates at these jails. So they always have to be either supervised by a trained correctional officer, but they're not allowed to work by themselves. That said, the two guards that were on staff the day on duty, the day that Carlos Yazzie died, they were both untrained. They had not received that Indian Police Academy training.
You were actually able to go into two of these facilities. Can you describe for us briefly conditions?
Yeah, I visited two jails in the Navajo Nation. One actually shut down in March due to health and safety violations. These were both more than 6 decades old. Hallways were cramped, iron bars. The plumbing was terrible, and the drinking water was often brown. They actually wouldn't let inmates drink it and instead relied on charities for bottled water for the inmates. The roof also leaked, so the guards would have to put buckets out to catch the water when it rained or snowed. And it was also extremely short-staffed. Guards were pulling triple duty, working as custodians, cooks, and transporting inmates to the hospitals.
Wow. We mentioned the comments from then Interior Department Inspector General Earl Devaney to Congress back in 2004, calling this a disgrace. I have about a minute with you. Is Congress planning anything to address these problems?
At the moment, kind of. One representative said that she plans to push for full funding for the BIA's detention center program. Right now, there's an extreme funding shortfall. The BIA estimates they need about $130 million more than what they're getting from Congress. We've also seen calls from a couple of senators for a transparent investigation. And so what they're referring to is that after months of written questions and public records requests from NPR and the Mountain West News Bureau, the Interior Department said it plans to contract with an outside agency to launch a comprehensive review of the detention center program. But it remains to be seen whether any action actually happens. As we've seen time and time again, you know, the federal government and Congress has known about these problems since at least 2004. And even though there's been calls for reform and promises for reform, there just hasn't been a lot done.
And I know that you've talked to some of the families of these inmates who have died, and many of them didn't even know that this had happened to their loved ones. They're calling for government intervention as well. That's Nate Hedgie, reporter for the Mountain West News Bureau. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.